You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Richard Boxall.
And a warm welcome to the European Tour Race to Dubai show as we look back on another European Tour victory for South Africa's George Coetzee, this time at the AfroAsia Bank Mauritius Open.
I actually felt a bit more nervous during the day, but happy to have pulled through it, and it doesn't matter how many holes it takes, just get it done.
We'll hear more from George later in the show. Meanwhile, there was a little piece of European Tour history for Javier Colomo, a hole-in-one on a par 4, all 320 yards of it.
We couldn't see the ball from the tee, so when we were on the fairway, a lot of people come to the green and they say the ball is in the hole, so wow, in that moment it was unbelievable.
Over in the USA, Ricky Fowler claimed the TPC at Sawgrass, and we'll have all the news on a stunning final round later in the show. Lots to come, so stay with us. I'm Dan Roebuck, and alongside me today is Richard Boxall. Boxy, how are you?
I'm all right, actually. I'm not too bad. I was up very late last night watching that TPC, which was a very exciting finish, I have to say. And also in amongst my sort of roast dinner and kippers that I had in the morning, I managed to watch a little bit of the golf that was on from Mauritius. Again, that was a, you know, two exciting finishes to both those tournaments.
Yeah, let's start with the action in Mauritius. Yeah. South Africa's George Coetzee continues in fine form, winner of the Swanee Open on the European Tour earlier on this campaign. He's starting to become a world force, would you say? Is he just below that level at the moment?
He played in the WGC and in the Cadillac in the match play. He didn't quite get into the Masters. You know, if you can get in that top 50 of the world rankings, Dan, it makes such a difference. You know, it really does. Because I think if you're playing well and you get in that top 50, it's quite hard, with the amount of prize money there is, it's quite hard to get out of it unless you have a really, really bad time. But to Bjørn Ollesen, going back to Mauritius, he came very close. I'm surprised with Bjørn. He has won twice. He won in Perth at the end of last year, and he did win in Sicily, which was 2 years at least, I think, before that. Bjørn is a player that I really think should have won more tournaments. I mean, he's a great striker of the ball. You watch him up close on the range, hits it very well. George Coetzee, he's won four times already on the Sunshine Tour before he had his three wins on the European Tour. So, you know, winning is winning. People say, oh, yeah, but he hasn't won on the European Tour. But, to win on the Sunshine Tour, you still get the same feelings in your stomach, and you still get, you know, the nervousness and the dry mouth and get quite thirsty down the last sort of 6 to 9 holes. So having had six wins under his belt, it was you can see why George Coetzee is hanging on. But harping back to your question, is he a world beater? I wouldn't say he's a world beater at the moment, no, but he is certainly getting a lot closer to getting consistently into all the majors and all the World Golf Championship events.
Well, after finishing on 13 under par, Coetzee overcame Denmark's Torbjørn Ollesen at the second extra hole of the playoff, and afterwards George spoke to Mark Tompkins.
George, obviously a win's very special. How nerve-wracking, though, was it to have to do after a playoff?
I actually felt a bit more nervous during the day, but happy to have pulled through it and posted a good number. And Torbjørn did unbelievably well to put the pressure on me the whole day, and I actually had to work in the end to catch him. But all in all, I'm just happy the job's done. It doesn't matter how many holes it takes, just get it done.
He really put the pressure on with that birdie on 17, didn't he?
Yeah, as we were walking up to 17, I was already disappointed with my attempt at winning the Villa, but I told Alan, I think, obviously what happened on 16 is I had a pretty good chip and it pitched in a pitch mark and a kick left. So I was a little bit upset about that and obviously a little bit angry. And then as we walked up, I think I saw that my name was not at the top and I realised that Torbjørn was obviously a birdied the 17th hole. And I told Alan, I was like, I can't believe it, but he birdied 17. And I thought to myself, you know, I must just give myself a good opportunity at an eagle on the 18th hole and hopefully he doesn't birdie it and I'll have a chance.
Agonising that first playoff hole as well, the ball just rolled over the cup for eagle.
Yeah, I would have loved it if that had got it. Obviously happy that I still won, but just to finish it in that kind of style would have been nice.
Just finally, this is a tri-sanction event, the inaugural one. I mean, how special does that make the win, knowing that it is tri-sanction?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it obviously counts towards my Sunshine Tour. It's also very nice for me to play in Mauritius and still count towards all my tours. And I think they did a great job planning and organising this event.
Many congratulations.
Thank you very much.
He was out in front very early on Sunday, 3 birdies in the first 5 holes, didn't quite do the same on the back 9, allowed Olesen to get back at him. And you heard them talk about the birdie on 17 for Olesen because nobody was birdieing 17. The pressure was back on Kurtzier on the last hole, wasn't it?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. As you know, you mentioned that start. I think he got to 14 under, didn't he? He had a 4-shot lead at one point. And that's when I was sort of flitting in and out, looking after my kids and having a look at the golf and everything. And I looked at that with the 4-shot lead and I thought, well, Kurtzier surely is going to hang on now and could go on and win this by 5 or 6. But, you know, it doesn't take much. It's like anything. You know, if you have a 4-shot lead, people think that's quite a long way. But, you know, you throw in a birdie to a bogey, all of a sudden 4 becomes 2. And then mentally, you know, you've got 6 inches of grey matter between your ears. And once you start thinking in golf, you know, you play football, it all happens a lot quicker. Tennis all happens a lot quicker. But with golf, you hit your shot, like you would, Dan, knock it 320 yards down the middle, then you've got 320 yards to think, and your brain can play some funny games with your head.
Kurtzier, on the last, a huge drive. He managed to birdie the 18th 3 times in succession, of course. Olesen, in regulation play, found sand and could only par the par 5 last. Olesen will look back and think he had a massive chance to win this. If he'd have birdied the last, he would have done. But considering he had been out for quite some time, it was a good performance, wasn't it?
It was, yes. You know, I was saying earlier that I thought he, in his career, would have won more tournaments. You know, he'll be hugely disappointed that he didn't win this, because I thought from sort of day one, 65 in the first round, he looked pretty good, followed that up with a 68. And the weekends were 17, 68. You know, most weekends that would be good enough to win. But then Kurtzier turned it around, shot 65 on Saturday, 69 on Sunday. I think Torbjørn Olesen will win plenty of tournaments in time to come, but he seems to be getting right up to the line and then not quite getting over it.
Well, despite missing out, he was pleased with his performance over the course of the week following a long layoff with injury.
Torbjørn, it's been a great week. Disappointing way to lose, though, on a playoff in the end.
Yeah, it's disappointing, of course, when you're in a playoff and not winning. There was a couple of key moments out there today where I had a bad tee shot on the 10th and a bad tee shot on 14. Those two holes just costed me today, I think. But it's difficult to play the 18 here with only a 3-wood. I didn't dare to hit my driver because I've hidden it pretty bad. So it's a long hole with a 3-wood, and George hit some great shots in both holes. 2 birdies there. It's not an easy golf hole, so big congrats to him, and he's played really good.
You were chasing George for most of the day, but the turnaround came on 17, didn't it? That was a massive birdie for you there.
Yeah, I had a great 5-iron and just walked it up there, and I knew it was going to be good, and I hit a great putt also, and a birdie on that hole is one of the good birdies. I had the chance on 18 also. I hit a bad 3-iron out to the right and then difficult bunker shot, but I'm pretty pleased with the way I handled things today also. I had a bad start again and fought my way back. George just played a little bit better.
After all the disappointment has worn off of that, you know, you must take an awful amount of positives out of the week, bearing in mind the long layoff that you've had.
To be honest, I didn't expect this before the tournament. So to be in a playoff is unbelievable. I mean, I haven't played a tournament for over 3 months. So yeah, I'm very pleased with that and can take that with me. So it's a good start.
Good start for Olesen, and gracious in defeat, talking about George Kurtzier. Kurtzier, incidentally, scoring for the second time this season after winning the Suwannee Open, and now has claimed 3 European Tour titles in his last 34 Tour starts. Boxy, just back on Olesen, obviously disappointed not to win, but after 3 months out with a hand injury, that is some performance, isn't it?
It was excellent, because if you look at the prize money that he'd won, he won 111,000 yesterday, euros, and he's won 120,000 in total this season out of 5 events. So beforehand, only winning 9,000 euros, which is what, £6,500, £7,000. One thing's for sure is you're not making a profit. So, yes, well done to Olesen.
Struggle with the driver as well. And as we saw from Kurtzier, if you drive well, you get yourself in good positions on the Heritage Golf Course out in Mauritius. And that was something that Olesen struggled with on the odd hole.
He did, yeah. But, you know, it's the same as any course, I always think. People say, oh, you've got to get the ball on the fairway. You know, you've got to get the ball on the fairway on any course, really. You've got to get it where that mower goes, up and down there. You've only got to get 1.68 inches on that fairway, which sounds easy, but it isn't. Every day is going to be windy, for sure, and you know that the rain also is coming in the afternoon. Not that makes any difference as you're driving. You know, have the wind as your friend rather than fight it, I always used to think. Try and use it to your advantage. But listen, he's finished 13 under par. I don't think he can moan that much. He's had a very quiet start to his season, so it wouldn't surprise me if Torbjørn Olesen did go on and pick up a couple of events this year.
Away from the top of the leaderboard, there was a piece of European Tour history during the second round when Spain's Javier Colomo hits a hole-in-one at the par 4, 320-yard ninth hole, and in doing so, he won a trip back to Mauritius courtesy of the sponsors. After he'd stopped smiling, he spoke to Mark Tompkins.
Well, Javier, many congratulations. You're the first European Tour player in history to get a hole-in-one and a par four. I mean, how does that feel?
Thank you very much. It's amazing. I didn't know that when I made the hole-in-one, but after that, I saw on Twitter a lot of messages, and the European Tour put that and make history, so I'm very happy.
I mean, it was at 320 yards. At what point did you know that the ball had gone in the hole?
We couldn't see the ball from the tee, so when we were on the fairway, a lot of people come to the green, and they say the ball is in the hole, so wow, in that moment it was unbelievable.
Can you describe that moment? I mean, a hole-in-one is special on a par three, let alone on a par four.
Yeah, my next goal is to make in a par five, you know. I needed the birdie, so I had the risk going to the green, and I hit a very high driver, very good, straight to the flag. And I thought, okay, man, the ball is very close for eagle, so the cut is done. Couldn't believe that the ball was in the hole.
Many congratulations.
Thank you so much.
A hole-in-one on a par four, Boxing.
Yeah, well, it certainly was always going to be coming on the European Tour, wasn't it? I think the distance that they hit the balls nowadays. Yeah, par four, you know, 340, 360 downwind. There's always a chance. You need a little bit of luck. Have you ever had a hole-in-one?
Never.
Never
got close.
Well,
how about yourself?
Yes, I think I've had five. I had one in the fog. You never saw it go in. I had one that was in the fog again that hit the humps on the left of the green and shot across at the 11th at Camberley Heath. I also had a hole-in-one at Royal Mid Surrey. I mean, I'll go through them all if you want. I had a hole-in-one at Royal Mid Surrey.
All in the fog?
No. And the first hole at Royal Mid Surrey is a one-iron. And I was playing in a tournament called the Equity and Law. I was playing with Frank Nobolo. One-iron. We're both first off, so obviously not doing particularly well in the tournament. In. There's one man standing behind. Hit this one-iron. Beautiful shot. And just went over the ridge. Just went in. This bloke went mad. I looked round. Where's the car? Bottle of champagne. That was all I got. And then I had one in France playing with Jose Rivero in the four-ball event. Cooper was my partner, Derek Cooper. I can't remember the course. It was somewhere near Paris, St. Nom-le-Bretèche. Maybe Saint-Germain.
The old pairs event.
Saint-Cloud it was. The pairs Saint-Cloud, event. Yeah, Saint-Cloud. And we, again, holed in one, spun it back with a 7-iron into the hole. Again, looked round. What did I get? Absolutely nothing. So for my holes in ones, I've got nothing. I very nearly had one in Madrid, half the ball hanging over the hole, and that was for a very, very expensive car. I didn't get it. Two groups later, Paul Way did.
You're better off without it, Boxy. You don't need it.
I don't need it. Money isn't everything, but it's right up there with oxygen.
Well, his wife, Christina, Javier's wife, Christina, caddied for him over the course of the week in Mauritius. Have you ever asked Mrs. Boxall to carry your clubs over the years?
The first one I did, yes, and that didn't end very well. But the second Mrs. Boxall, I wasn't actually playing tour golf then. So, I never really think it's a good idea if your wife caddies for you. Do you?
Seriously. I wouldn't know. Well, I don't. You see it a lot, though, these days, don't you?
Yeah,
I mean Patrick Reed's wife, Justine, caddies with some success, doesn't
she? But you couldn't be... I mean, can you imagine sort of saying, you know, you get the yardage wrong and you can't say, what was that? I mean, what was that? You know, it's, oh, well, never mind. Never mind, dear. It's only out of bounds. Doesn't matter, does it? You know, and your wife would say, oh, pull yourself together. Oh, you know, and you lose your temper. Oh, temper. You want to talk to a caddy. In old English, you know what I mean? You can't talk to your wife like that.
Well, Richard, we need to move on, and yes, we need the top 10 in Mauritius, sir.
We do. Tied 8th, 9th and 10th were Oliver Becker from South Africa, another South African, Merrick Bremner, Bernd Ritthammer, I think that's how you pronounce it, from Germany. They were all tied 8th to 10th, and then three players tied at 5th, Scott Hend, Kawamura and John Parry, and then 4th on his own was Thomas Akin. Marden Mamet, 47 years of age now, from Singapore. He was 3rd. 2nd was Torbjørn Olesen in a playoff with George Coetzee. And as I said, Coetzee comes out the winner.
Race to Dubai standings next. Once again, we need the top 10. Any status changes?
Yes, George Coetzee with 677,000 points now, which is a point, is a euro, basically. He's moved into 10th. 9th is Kiradesh Appy Barnrat. Bernd Wiesberger is 8th. 7th, Ross Fischer. Anaban Lahiri is 6th, 5th is Brandon Grace, Louis Oosterhuizen is 4th, Justin Rose is 3rd, Danny Willett is 2nd. Guess who's top of the pile? Yeah, Rory McIlroy.
And he's going to stay there all year, isn't he, Boxing?
He certainly is. He's some player now.
Last week's Fantasy Race to Dubai tips, and this is the script that I don't write that it says. I don't want to brag, but I will. But I may as well. The script tells me to brag, so I'm going to brag. But I did tip George Kurtzier at Boxy last week.
You did, did you?
Yes, I did.
That's very good.
Yes, I did.
And tell me what made you do that.
Well, he's been in such fantastic form. The Swanee win.
Yeah.
Third in Morocco. Played well in the WGC. And yes, it was a slight concern that he was coming back from San Francisco to Mauritius. But unlike you and I, he turns left on aeroplanes rather than right.
He turns left and drinks water, which is probably a good thing as well.
Mr. Robert Lee went for Kevin Phelan, who came 44th, which for Robert's not bad.
That's pretty good.
It's all right, you know. That's not too. That's above average, I'd suggest.
Well, he normally gets an MC, doesn't he?
Yes,
you know,
he does.
A missed
yeah.
cutter.
Yes, he does. And he's general alphabet form with Robert. I think.
And what's great is that, you know, we can really dig. He's at a board meeting this morning, and we can really dig into him, which is great. Because he, vice versa, it'd be the other way. You know, he'd rip a strip off you.
Well, he usually champions your selections when you're not here.
Does he?
Oh, yes. As for the European Tour's Fantasy Race to Dubai game, the weekly winner was Henry. His team, named Blake's Birdie Blitzers, was the only team to earn over 600,000 points, with George Kurtzier as the star player, along with Torbjørn Olesen, Thomas Akin, Scott Hend and John Parry, who also finished in the top five. As for the overall Fantasy Race to Dubai, Nigel Brunt holds the lead. His team, Blobby's Hackers, has amassed 14,964,338 points through 20 events so far this season. Interesting to note that George Kurtzier was the most popular fantasy pick last week, with more than 54% of teams selecting the Mauritius Open champion. Obviously, they were listening to the podcast last week. To pick your fantasy team, visit europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. Let's cross the pond next. Ricky Fowler beat Sergio Garcia and Kevin Kisner in a playoff following a dramatic final day in the TPC at Sawgrass. The trio finished on 12 under, but Fowler beat Kisner at the first sudden death hole after Garcia was earlier eliminated. The victory for Fowler came in the week that he and England's Ian Poulter were voted the most overrated players by their peers in an anonymous poll. Do you think that the poll inspired him to victory, Boxy?
I wouldn't have thought so, no. I think he'd had a read of it, have a look at it, and he probably should have won more tournaments. OK, he finished in the majors, finished in the top five in all of them last year, didn't he? Which is pretty impressive. But as you were saying to me earlier before we started this, he's only won once prior to the
it
players.
It was starting to become a thing, wasn't it, that he'd only won once?
Well, in his head, I would say it would be, yeah. You know, he's getting hyped up all the time. And he's being sort of taken along with Rory McIlroy because, you know, he was right up there, obviously, with McIlroy with the majors that he won last year. So it was not a two-horse race, but it was getting very close. I would say, you know, by his own high standards, he'd be very disappointed that he's only won two. But they do class this as the fifth major, where I always thought it was the Italian Open, the one I won.
But he did play some stunning golf, didn't he, down the stretch, because he was off the pace and not really considered in the mix, but then a tremendous finish, Boxy.
It was. I mean, he birdied the 13th, quieting things down in this little run with a par on the 14th, but then he was 5 under for the last four, birdied 15, eagled 16. I've got to say he was a little fortunate with his second shot on the 16th. It finished 18 inches from the hole, it pitched on the right edge of the green and did take a kick to the left. Could have kicked right, would have maybe gone into the water. But anyway, you need little things like that to happen if it's all going to run smoothly. And then the notorious 17th, which was only playing a wedge, but I tell you what, you wouldn't want to play that hole in the monthly medal, I can assure you. You'd never finish it sometimes. Birded that one, rolled one in there, and then rolled in from about, I suppose, about 18, 20 feet on the final hole for a birdie, which was a brilliant way to finish. So he's rated, not underrated in my book.
Well, let's hear from the winner, Ricky Fowler.
Still not really going to sink in for a while, but yeah, the way I played the past few there, just kind of being able to put myself in that position with the way I was playing, I guess not playing, I wasn't playing that great Saturday, and then into the first part of today's round, and did everything I could to kind of fight and to hang around. Finally everything clicked, and yeah, to play the last six holes that way and to step up and continue that in the playoff. Big thanks to 17. It's a big help this week.
Just going back to the 17th, Boxy,
yeah.
What's your opinion on it? Because some golfers don't like it tricked up, a bit of a gimmick, but Ricky Fowler obviously does because he played it so well over the course of the week and birdied it three times on the Sunday.
If you play it into the wind, you wouldn't like it. You know, a strong wind, into the wind, it becomes almost unplayable. It's not that long an iron shot and the ball balloons up, you know, and it's a very small target to hit. I think it's a good hole. I personally wouldn't like to play it because I didn't like water in the end of my sort of playing career, but it's a tough hole. It's amazing what the brain sort of says to you. You know, if all that water, if that was all sand, you know, if it was like a hole in the desert, you know what I mean? It wouldn't make any. If it was a bunker that was surrounded there, it would be a lot easier. It would be a hell of a lot easier. But as it's covered in water or surrounded by water, you know, you basically have to either go to the drop zone or keep playing from where you put your tee shot from. So it's a frightening hole. A little bit down breeze again. If you don't quite get it right, the breeze catches it. One bounce into the water. We saw a lot of people fly over the green this week into the water. Basically, I think it played the eighth hardest hole of the whole week, but it's, in my mind, mentally, it's the hardest.
Let's get the entire top 10 boxing.
Okay, tied 8th to 12th was Ishikawa, John Sendon, Brian Harman, Jamie Donaldson, Rory McIlroy, and then two players tied 6th, Sabatini and Kevin Na. Another two tied 4th, Ben Martin and Bill Haas. Tied 2nd in the playoff was Kistner and Sergio Garcia, and the third man in that playoff, Ricky Fowler, who finally gets his second win on PGA Tour.
In other news, congratulations to Rhys Davies of Wales, who won the European Challenge Tour event in Turkey. It was his first title in 5 years, and Darren Clarke had to pull out of the TPC event after sustaining a wrist injury. He was 10 over par after 11 holes in his first round when he withdrew from the event. Let's hope that he has a swift recovery. World rankings next, Boxy. We need the top 10, sir.
Well, I'm not going to tell you who number one is. I'm sure you can guess that, but I will eventually, obviously. I'll go and tell you that Dustin Johnson is in 10th. Ricky Fowler is now in 9th. Jason Day, 8th. Sergio Garcia is 7th. 6th, Justin Rose. Jim Furyk is 5th. Bubba Watson is 4th. 3rd is Henrik Stenson. Jordan Spieth is 2nd. And I'll let you, Dan, tell me who number one is.
I presume it is Rory McIlroy.
Correct and right. You're through to the next round.
Well, next up on the European Tour is the Open de España in Barcelona. And, Boxy, we're back to El Prat this week.
We are, yes. It's a nicely designed little course. It gets occasions where it gets quite tree-lined, can get quite breezy out there. Thomas Akin has won there before. Miguel Angel Jimenez is defending champion. But it is quite tree-lined. There's some big slopes. And I think this is the place where they've got fences, electric fences around, because they've got wild boar roaming around, which is, you know, you knock one into the bush, Dan, you leave it.
Boxy, who's playing? Who's teeing up in Spain? I presume a very good Spanish contingent, first and foremost.
Yes, Sergio Garcia is flying all the way back from the United States of amazement. He's playing Thomas Bjorn, Alexander Levy. It is Levy, isn't it?
I think it is Levy.
Levy, that's the way you pronounce it. Richie Ramsey, Thomas Akin, who's won there before. Ross Fisher's playing. Torbjörn Olesen, David Howe, Rafael Jacquelin. Victor Dubuisson, and he's been a bit quiet, hasn't he, old Victor? So anyway, good field.
So we need selections for this week then. Richard, who are you going for?
I'm going for a multiple winner on the European Tour. 24th on the race to Dubai. He's French and his name is Alexander Levy.
Levy is Mr. Boxall's selection. This week I'm going to go with David Howell, who went close to victory in China on a couple of occasions. He's got form at El Prat as well in the late 90s, shooting some low scores. I'm hopeful that Howler will come good. For me, that just about wraps it up. From us two for now. We'll be back next week to reflect on the Open de España. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from me, Dan Roebuck, and from Mr. Richard Boxall,
bye.
It is goodbye. Have a great week. We'll speak again soon.